Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kool-Aid drinkers!
Welcome back.
This is exciting. Hey, this new schedule's come out, boys. What do you think? Are you excited? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
We're all jacked up about that. Hey, this is the Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid crew. Big Z couldn't make it tonight, but we have some heavy hitters tonight. We have Bob.
Hello, everybody.
And Rud Dog.
Yo.
And I'm UJ, and we're here to bring you the latest and the greatest Lions and the best, the Bed Pod Lions podcast out there. You all know That's it. Right. Come on. You all know it.
Yeah.
Facts.
All right. So, Bob, okay. Rud Dog, did you guys see any of the interviews with the new coaches over the last couple of days on the Lions website?
I was watching the Scotty Montgomery one. I did watch that one, but I was thinking of John Morton one. Actually,
yeah,
but he was really good. Sounds like he's got this offense. They're gonna just kind of continue what they're doing, and add some wrinkles. But everybody knows what they're doing already, and I'm sure they'll disguise things. So Ben Johnson doesn't know what the hell they're doing. But
yeah, doesn't it seem like his personality is so 360 from Ben Johnson? Not just his age, but the way his demeanor and the way he talks and the. Like everything. I don't know.
You went from kind of socially awkward nerd to a more grizzled, just dude who's, Ben's always seemed a little bit like he might be on the spectrum.
Ben's trying to channel his Dan Campbell now. He's trying to be funny. Yeah. And it's a little awkward.
That's not
he's
working.
Awkward.
Well, yeah.
He's one of those guys who he's smart. That's what he is. He's not the most charismatic guy out there.
No, that's true. But that John Morton, I don't know. There's something about him. There's one thing he said that kind of bothered me. He talked about how he helped put in this system a couple years ago because he's with the Lions then, helping put this new system. So I'm not worried about his knowledge of the system and all that stuff. But he says, I'll do whatever they tell me. Like he said that like a good soldier, And I don't know. That hit me wrong.
We want him defying Dan's orders on the field.
No. I don't know. If you're some genius, you're not waiting for someone to tell you what to do. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't think he's coming across as some rocket scientist. When he was talking about, he's like, I'm not putting in a system where he's like, I want to know what players I have, what they're good at it, and then we're going to do what they're good at.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Matt Patricia with a, space degree or whatever the hell he had.
In fact, it's better that you're not that, Patricia.
Does it make you wonder sometimes? Do you think, last year and the year before, how many of those fourth down calls? It's Dan Campbell, right? Campbell's doing it, right? Not the O coordinator.
I would think.
Yeah. So. I mean, the O coordinator's got to have a play ready for that situation.
Yeah.
But Dan's making the call.
Okay. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's still Campbell doing it. Making those kind of calls,
Yeah, and Morton even said, he goes, because they asked him about that specifically.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to learn, what the situation is, because it's all new to him too, as far as how he works with Campbell, in that role. I mean, he's worked with him before, but.
But I'll tell you why I'm not worried, though, at all, because of Dan Campbell. Ben Johnson gets all this freaking credit for being this genius and stuff, but if you remember when Campbell took over the OC job, on his own when he fired what's his name?
Anthony Lynn.
He kind of took over that offense and pretty much ran on his own and then brought Ben Johnson in to sort of take it over, but it was Dan Campbell. So his imprint is heavy on this offense, so I'm not really worried where it's gonna go.
Well, and his philosophy, you heard some familiar lines when Morton was talking. He mentioned how it's going to be week to week, the game plan is going to, they want to be multiple so that they can do whatever's necessary that week. Sometimes it might be hand the ball off 100 times. Sometimes it might be, you know, pass but drop back a bunch of times or whatever. Like,
right,
you're gonna tailor it for what, based on our strengths and the opponent's weaknesses, and you know, that's all good stuff. But that's like the philosophy. That's the entrenched. Whoever, like, and I think that's going to be the case here too. Why Morton might be such a perfect candidate for this, because this is becoming like the Belichick Brady kind of like thing. Like, you might be a new offensive coordinator there, but like this is Jared's offense. This is Dan's offense, and you know, the philosophies will remain, and you're going to work within a certain type of structure.
Yeah,
but, I mean, there's plenty of room to explore because Dan encourages creativity. So
yeah, you got a good point there, and also the players are so accountable on their own to each other. So
yeah,
they're not waiting for someone to tell them what to do, you know. And so
definitely
no,
and UJ, what it was on the positive side, you know, that I don't want you to be worried.
I'm not really. Just, you know, it's a new thing. You know, I'm getting used to it. So.
But on the positive side, John Morton kind of lit up when he was talking about like the tools that he has. He's like,
oh, you did.
In the candy store. He's like, oh,
you did.
And like when he's talking about J-Mo, he's just like,
oh, man, yeah.
He's like, this is gonna be a big year for him. Like,
he did. He said that directly. This is gonna be a huge year for J-Mo. So yeah. That tells you where his mind is at. So
yeah,
so.
Anyone who's on the trade J-Mo bandwagon, talk to John Morton. I guarantee you, he'll probably just slap you in the face for the dumb question. But like, if you don't think that man is 1,000% stoked to have a guy like J-Mo to mess around with this year, I mean, maybe I'm saying something we all know, but this guy's trending towards top of the league receivers this year. I don't think 2,000 yards is outrageous to even put on the radar for J-Mo. I mean, maybe he's too young and there is a lot of, you know, only one ball to be spread around with all the great talent, but like, he's so damn good and he's so explosive. You just can't teach it.
Yeah. I think we will see some more. The 2,000 yards thing, I don't think is going to happen, but
no, I mean, not really. Yeah. But,
for the reason you said, for too many weapons out there, you got to spread that ball around. But,
1,500 yards?
More nine routes. I mean, more deep passes.
He doesn't need to be featured to get a shit ton of yards. He got 1,000 in the fastest time anyone's ever done it last year, or with the least amount of targets. So, I mean, like, you know, he doesn't need the same amount of volume that Amon Ra's going to need to get the yardage, you know?
Right.
He's a big, big playboy. And like, I don't know, if I'm them, I'm watching Randy Moss and Tom Brady and drawing a ton of inspiration from that. Cause I think he has a kind of a skill set that's similar, that sudden acceleration that can just take the top off of defense.
Well, he does have with the acceleration. I'm not sure about the other speed qualities, but
he's not 6'4". He's like 6'1". But, like, I mean, if you were watching that year, it wasn't like Brady was throwing Moss a shit ton of jump balls or something. They were destroying and just dissecting defenses with surgical strikes constantly. I mean, he's going to have to learn. He doesn't have all the savvy that Moss had at that point in his career to get off the line and beat press and stuff. I'm just saying he has the upside to pull off stuff like that, I think.
For sure. So, any other coaches catch your ear?
Yeah, a little about Scotty Montgomery. You know, he's going to be the receivers coach now.
Yeah.
And, you know, moves on from the running backs. But that, like he was talking about, that kind of touches each other, you know, like because, you know, your receivers are blocking for the running backs and vice versa. So, and as you know, the players at the Lions draft are willing blockers and everyone's just football players. There's a certain type of player on this team. Even the least guy is a baller, you know. So
right,
they've got a lot of cool tools to work with. But Montgomery, it sounds like he's trying to, you know, better himself, and he's, you know, working across the coaching, and he's doing assistant coaching now, head coach. So another bright star in the future there.
Yeah, I think it's a great observation, Bob, because I was listening to Shep, and I really liked his. He came out today. I think they interviewed him today.
I didn't catch it yet.
I just love that guy. He's just so
he's great.
Animated, and he believes so much in this organization. But he was saying what you're saying, that this organization is not about just winning football, but it's about developing people, you know, and getting the best out of them. And Shep said, even as not as football players, but these coaches, like they want them to improve and get better and, you know, reach the heights that they can possibly reach, you know, and Shep's one of those guys, yeah, a true believer. And he said how everyone wants to come to this team. Now people want to play here and so on. But on a player side, he said something encouraging to me, and that was Marcus Davenport's been in the gym, been working out at the facility like all year pretty much, and his body even looks different. He's healthy, and he's had a lot of injury problems, but man, when that guy's healthy. So to me, I was encouraged by that little tidbit of news too. So yeah. Who knows?
I mean, if that guy can string together a full season or close to one and be available for the playoffs, that our defense is going to be nasty.
Oh my God.
Even without him, it's going to be nasty, but he'll definitely add that next level.
It'll be so nasty.
Nasty.
But no, that I came away from some of these interviews very encouraged. Dave Phipp, I can just listen to that guy talk all the time. He's awesome.
He's so awesome. Unique.
I don't know how to explain that guy, but
I know. Don't you? Obviously, we're not an NFL. Any danger of being in the NFL? But don't you just want to strap on the pads when you listen to these guys talk?
Oh my God! Oh, yes, absolutely.
Shit.
No kidding.
War, baby.
No kidding. Yeah. So I can imagine.
I love it when he came out on his press conference, was like, oh, I know you're all excited. He's back or whatever, like, or something like that. And you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then he starts talking and he has that such unique like voice. Oh, that laugh. That like whatever. And you're just like, oh, this guy is such a character. I am glad you're back. He's so funny.
Oh, for sure. He is. I could listen to that guy all the time. But the coaches are great. They did some good player interviews during the little mini camps, and those are interesting too. I don't know if we touched on those last week a little bit in our last pod. I think a little bit, but
Tyreek,
it's a really interesting draft.
Tyreek, anyone notice his NFL comparison is Aleem McNeil for a lot of people, and he looks like him. Like, when he has his like head beanie thing on, like, yeah, he has the same kind of dreads, and then like some of his like facial shapes and the way he talks, like, is even kind of like sounds a little bit like him. Like, it's like a big or little brother, I guess, big little brother, because yeah, he's a little bit bigger. But I mean, yeah, it's just a funny thing. I think those guys are gonna do great together.
Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, it's gonna be awesome. I can't wait. Hey,
one other player tidbit.
Yeah,
I just thought was interesting that Giovanni Manu was working out with Taylor Decker on the offseason.
Yes,
I think that's awesome. Because
I agree.
Yeah, Decker's obviously one of the elite NFL players, you know, through his career, and yep, like to have that working with him. That's amazing.
Oh yeah,
room him, baby.
Yeah, I love the way these guys work with each other like that. They're not there's not a jealousy thing going on. They're trying to help each other, make each other better. I mean, Decker knows this is the guy who's going to replace him. Theoretically,
hopefully,
maybe within the next year or two, but he's out there helping the guy and doing the best he can. If he becomes half as good as Decker, it'll be wow.
Oh man.
Hell yeah. I just want to say one thing about Decker though.
Could be better than Decker too.
First of all, I picked him in the draft that year. I said that was going to be our first draft and they picked him. I just had to throw that out there, pat myself in the back a little bit. But,
I remember that.
But his kick step is so elite in the NFL, like maybe as good as anybody I've ever seen.
Because
I don't know how many times I've watched Lions games over the years with him, thought he was offsides, and he wasn't. He's just so right on the snap with that kick step. It's just, I don't know, that's got to be, Rod Dog, you played O-line. That's going to be a huge advantage to have a step like that to get yourself set.
Yeah, because like you said, you're set. Before they start making their move, now you got to, then they have to decide, and you got the initiative, kind of.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Who's that dude on the Chiefs that always does it like a half second before the snap?
Oh God, yeah, that guy's terrible.
They never call him.
They never call it. I know. Anyway, some good stuff. Hey, the schedule came out, boys.
That's the big news.
I just want to say quickly. Apparently, we have, like, I think the second or third toughest schedule in the whole league. The toughest, I believe, away schedule. And let's see what else. Oh, but one good thing about this, well, two good things about this schedule I see. Our bye week is in week 8. Thank God.
That's the best thing there,
Yeah.
I love that.
Now week 4, nice. You know, geez. This is
I wanted it week 1.
No, so that's what we used to do in college. Our bye was in week 1.
It was
so stupid. But we only played a 10-game schedule, so.
We just played anyway. Scrimmage instead.
But the other thing was they measure this thing. I never knew this before, but like rest days, like during a season. So the Lions have more rest days than any other team in the league this season. Mm. It's something they've measured since like 2002
during
or something like that.
During the season you're talking about?
Yes, during the season. Because of the way the schedule's laid out and, you know, they get an off day or maybe the Thursday night, Sunday, whatever the gaps are in the games, they have like a 13 more rest days than they have more rest days than other teams. I can't remember. Anyway. Yeah.
And they have the fourth least amount of miles traveled, I guess. From game to game,
yeah.
Like 11,000 miles.
So there are some good things about it.
Yeah. And to me, that whole the toughest schedule, that doesn't always play out, you know, like the way it is. Like they're supposedly the toughest schedule, but then some team sucks or whatever that you didn't know.
True. But,
I don't know. The only bad thing I heard was that it's the third toughest schedule and not the first toughest schedule.
Yeah, the Giants have the toughest schedule, I believe,
like,
which is so weird. And Cleveland, I think, is the second toughest.
But that's why my favorite part of the schedule is that we got freaking Philly, Kansas City, and Baltimore all on the road.
I know.
That's great. That's all heaviest hitters in the league, especially on the AFC side. Like, that's going to be a gauntlet. I love this. This is a gauntlet, baby. We got to go through it this year, and I'm all for it. Iron sharpens iron and all that. You got to be forged in fire, and this team will
relish
that.
It's different though. Now the Lions are the elite team. You know, they're
right.
The team you don't want to see on your schedule.
True.
What a difference from a few years ago. Someone was talking about this on the radio today about how a few years ago we're like, schedule come out, you're like, oh, I hope we're on the Monday night game. Hope we're
right.
Like, and now we have five night games. So we have 12 national games.
Yeah.
The national game for 12.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
What a difference.
Lions are hot, man. Everybody wants to see them.
I know. So. And for good reason. They're the most fun team in the league to watch, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's go through the schedule real quick, okay? And I love the opening game. I love it. At Green Bay, baby. September 7th. Woo! 3:30 start in Chicago. 4:25 Eastern. For Rudd Dog, that would be like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Green Bay to open up in Lambeau.
Love it.
Love it, baby.
It's challenge right out of the gate.
Yeah. I agree.
Beat up on our little brother right out the gate, baby.
Followed 1 week later by another division rival, Chicago Bears, at home. 1 p.m. game on Fox.
Ben Johnson returns home.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
Can't wait.
We're going to set that rat trap, Bob, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the rat
trap. Set the rat trap, put a big piece of cheese on there for Ben.
It's a great opportunity to start off 2-0 for the division.
I love it. I mean,
yeah.
I'm in Chicago, you know, so I listen to Chicago radio, and the Bears are like, this is their year, man.
Oh, God.
Everybody's like crowning them champs. Or I mean, not, you know, not Super Bowl, but you know what I mean?
Right.
They think that the Lions have lost all these coaches and the Bears are ready to leap on it. You know, like,
yeah.
Well, I don't know.
It's because it's after the draft they always feel so positive in the preseason when
like
they
we used to feel. Remember when we win 3 games one year, we'd have a really good draft.
Confidence stuck around all the time, but I didn't get to finish because they're also they swing wildly towards the most negative as soon as reality hits. As things start going wrong, they're gonna trash the shit out of this team. And
oh yeah, they do.
Like that's why like they're so happy right now. This is when they're always so cocksure. And then they're going to be the first one to trash their own team when things go bad. And that's what they do. Things are playing out as you'd expect. Hey, but you know, this time you got here. Here's the thing, though. You know what this feels like to me in a lot of ways? Like it does feel like a Matt Patricia move, or like maybe even like what's his face. It feels like so many of the moves we made before we finally fired like Quinn and Sheila finally took over this organization and fixed it from top to bottom.
You have to explain something, Red Dog.
I'm trying to talk.
What kind of Matt Patricia move are you talking about?
I'm saying this feels like the Bears made like a hire that's like a Matt Patricia or what's his name? The guy you didn't like. They've hired their head coach, or maybe if it's a good one. Like, who was it? Who's the head coach we had before Patricia? Like, I'm spacing. Somebody help.
Schwartz, you're talking about? Or no, Jim Caldwell?
Caldwell. Like, Caldwell. It feels like that, where like even if he's is somewhat competent, it doesn't matter. The organization's rotten to the core. The Bears are a shit organization. They can make all the surface level moves they want a head coach down. As long, they got a GM that has been there through multiple failed organizations, just like we used to do. Their ownership constantly undermines. Like, they're just not a good organization, and that's what we used to be before Sheila took over and fixed things from the top down. And now that's a large part of why Brett Dan's even successful anyway. So like, you can put lipstick on a pig and you can put good pieces at the lower end of the organization, but that until and they might get a flash in the pan here and there, but I'm not worried about the Bears, because I do think they look tough. Talent wise on the field, they look good. And Ben,
I think they'll be better this year, but they've got a long way to go to catch the Lions. That's all.
I think they'll be tough because they have acquired a good amount of talent, and I think Ben will be more competent than the coach before him. But I think the organization will end up undermining him probably at some point. And
Eberflus was terrible. I mean, I think Ben Johnson's already better when you just listen to him talk. Like, sure. Eberflus, like after the game, oh, let's look at our list. What did we go? What did we do right? And like, yeah, I don't know. He just sounds like a dope. But anyway.
But like you said, you can put lipstick on a pig, but you can't make him drink. I know. So
that's right. It's the old saying.
Yeah, it's the old adage.
All right, week three.
Yeah, week three. The Baltimore Ravens.
Our nemesis. They're always tough against the Lions.
Monday night football. Woo! Are you ready for some football?
I am excited. And with a healthy Hutch.
Yeah.
A healthy Hutch in that game. And, yeah. I think this is a good test for the Lions. But luckily, Tucker's gone now, so he can't kill us with a 70-yard field goal at the end of the game.
Yeah, so. Thank God.
I wish he was back, because we wouldn't have given him the opportunity.
Oh, man. Yeah. Lamar Jackson's already pooping in his pants a little bit, seeing us on that schedule right
this
there.
This is such. This one might be the one I look forward to the most of all of them, because it's like, I don't know, one, we owe him one. From the last time we played.
Oh, yeah, we owe them.
And two, I do, in a way, I think they might be the most, I think they're the most formidable regular season team out there.
Yeah,
besides
you make
us.
An argument for that.
Like, you know, they always choke in the playoffs, but man, with Lamar's running abilities and everything else they got going on, they're just such a tough team. I'm so excited to take them on. I think we got the juice to take them down. All these top team games, I think, are, you know, you're getting, I believe we'll win them, but they do get more into that like coin flip territory, you know, where they got good guys. They got really good guys too. So it's going to be a battle.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be a tough game. Monday night though, man. Got to love that.
Heck yeah.
I know where I'm going to be that day.
And we thrive on prime time. So,
yeah. So after that, we were followed by the Cleveland Browns in Detroit.
Week not that off. Exciting.
No, not that exciting.
No, I'm just kidding.
Because of Shedeur Sanders' debut, maybe. I don't know. If he wins a job by then, who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe Deion will be on the sidelines, you know, cheering his kid on or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, someone's got to, you know, give him some lessons on their rebuild. We'll give him some hard knocks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Myles Garrett will have some new chains and stuff because he's got his big contract, so he'll be iced up pretty good.
He's going to roll his ankle in week one.
Yeah, like they did. Who's the quarterback? Deshaun Watson, when they signed the big contract, he's injured for most of it.
So the next game is the Cincinnati Bengals. And Bob, this goes to what you're saying. Look at these games. Green Bay, Chicago, Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Not a lot of traveling there. It's all within kind of like a little part of the Midwest.
Geographically, so, yeah.
Now Cincinnati is, they're anticipating, I guess they're projected to win 9 wins this year or something like that. So they're supposed to be good. They got Burrows.
Trey Hendrickson will get a revenge on the Bengals in this game, you know, because he'll be signing up with the Lions pretty soon.
that's another dream I have. I hope that happens before the.
Well, that would be.
He looks unhappy. But I don't know if we'll get him.
No, he looks so unhappy. We should make him happy.
Yeah.
Come to Detroit, Trey. Come on, buddy.
Decker can be whispering in his ear. Come on, bud. You want to come on, Carson?
Him and Hutch. Good Lord, that would be awesome. Oh my God! Anyway,
But that'll be a fun game.
I could be on your team.
Yeah. So then, to further the fun, October 12th, week 6, Kansas City Chiefs Sunday Night Football. Oh baby, at Kansas City. We love to ruin their games over at Kansas City, right?
Yeah. We're gonna wear the all whites for that game. I think.
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. So, oh yeah, I see a definite win there. That's a good one. And then followed by Monday Night Football again. Whoa. The Tampa Bay Bucks.
We seem to play them every year.
We owe them one from last year.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Lions are going to be pissed after they let that other game go away last year. So
it's kind of cool, though. We got a little rivalry brewing between us and them in a way. Like, especially because there's some history there. Like, back to the NFC North. Or no, what were we? Central? They were, weren't they part of that? And then
they were back in the day. Yeah, they were actually.
But I like the we beat them in the playoffs and they beat us early last season. Now we're seeing them again this year. I don't know, I like it.
This is good. Like night games and bye week in the October, so you can hit the cider mill and the pumpkin patch and all that stuff. And
that's right.
Still see the game. You don't have to go on the hayride with your kid, like with your phone, trying to watch the game. So this is a win for everybody.
We're going to the
that
night.
That was
ride,
well
honey.
Said.
No.
That is so true. Oh my God, that's so true. All you guys out, you know it's true. You know it's true.
Yeah, until your wife says we're going on the nighttime ride, and then you're like, damn.
That's hilarious. So week 8, we got they're playing Call of Duty because they got the day off. Yeah, so I think the players will be playing it or Madden or Call of Duty
Dan
or whatever those guys
that.
Play.
They'll be doing push-ups. No,
yeah. But finally, a rational bye week.
Yes. It's
week 8 thank instead God. Of week 4 or whatever the hell it was last
was
year.
A little rough.
Yeah, can you imagine playing that many games in a row, like without a break? What was it, 14 games in a row or something like that, or 13? Just insane. It's just so.
But like. And then what are the odds that you get a schedule like that and then have like a weirdly like historic run of injuries on one side of the ball?
Right. And if you look at what happened last year, I mean, we got the bye in the playoffs, which, you know, we obviously needed rest. But you know how when you do something a really long time, you go. And then as soon as you rest, though, like the air comes out, man, like it's hard to get it back going again, you know? And I think that's part of what happened in the playoffs against Washington. You know, they were playing every week. They were fresh. I mean, fresh in a way. You know,
it's like
it's hard to get that back
when you blow out your engine with like you pump out all the tubes of your engine, and but like it ends up instead of, like it cleans it, but then it ruins it because like all the residue that had built up was actually like holding it together. Like you get a little like you think, oh, this will be great, and then you next thing you know you're like, you're not quite what you were.
If we have any mechanics out there, we'd like to discuss that analogy with you.
Yes. No, we don't. We
a
don't
little bit
check that one. Yeah,
analogy is like best not discussed.
Work on that actually. One a little bit. But so the residue is good for your car. The gunk in
you
your
never heard
of
that?
Is,
yeah, like you can get like you can. Go
I
out,
have
like, you, like,
actually.
You pump out, like you blow it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Don't play with me.
Well, I still believe that you never change your transmission fluid. You know, so like other people said, you change. I said, no, you're not supposed to. Once you do, your transmission will die. And and my truck has 250,000 miles. I never changed the transmission fluid, so it's still going. So
you're also the never wear deodorant thing, and that's you've been doing that for years.
Well, you know,
he has a lot of solace. You know, no.
Yeah, well, I'm a naturalist at heart, you know. I use leaves to wipe the trees.
Yeah, leaves. You'll shower if it rains. You'll go outside.
Yeah, I'll go outside.
Mother Nature showers me.
I can do my laundry and myself at the same time. But oh God,
that's a man one with nature right there.
So that's what we're doing during our bye. Anyway, just Sunday the next week, week 9, Minnesota Vikings. Woo! In Detroit.
I know. What do you guys think of the Vikings this year? I mean, they were awesome last year during the regular season. I mean, their record was great.
Yeah.
They'll be interesting to see J.J. McCarthy playing for them.
I'm very curious about J.J. I'd see how he does. Yeah, I think it'll be okay. The Vikings are going to be tough. They got a good team. I mean,
I think the whole division will be tough. But yeah, no, I mean, I do think it's interesting, though. Like, I'm curious to see, because like I do think McCarthy will be good, but like they had a dude put up like a historic season for him, and then they go another direction the next year. Like,
yeah, but come on, anybody with their eyes can see at the end that he wasn't the guy.
Yeah, so, definitely.
I know he got him through a great season, record season, but you know you see the wheels falling off at the end there. A lot of it was on
him. Fell short, but
a lot of it was on
him. If I were a Vikings fan, I would have wanted to move on from it myself.
But I mean, they only lost 3 games last year. So, I mean, whatever. Like, he played a really good season. It's easy to knock him. I mean, like, I know, like, he didn't always look the greatest, but I'm just saying he objectively played a great season, a historically great season, and now they're going to a rookie, basically. So, yeah, I do think McCarthy could be good, but he's still going to be a rookie. So,
true.
You know, it's up in the air, and he does have some tools, but I'm not afraid of them.
There's always been the last couple of years, though, there's been a rookie that's made the playoffs, like C.J. Stroud, and then last year, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Will he get rookie, actually, now? Because I just remember he's actually a sophomore.
Oh, yeah. I guess he wouldn't be a rookie, but you know what I mean? It's his first.
I mean, he effectively is, but yeah.
So,
I mean, I do think he's got intriguing skill set, and I think he will be good, but it is still going to be a rookie season.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll pick it up fast.
Well, week 10, JJ boys. Week 10. This is a game everyone's going to be anticipating. Washington Redskins, or Commanders, whatever. I still call them the Redskins. I don't care. I'm old. I can say whatever the hell I want. So,
it's America.
Washington Redskins. Although Washington did declare that they're never going to change the name back to Redskins. Despite the Indians wanting it back. So anyway.
Are they still fighting about that? Hasn't it been years ago since that's been?
Well, but they declared
the new owner,
whatever his name is, declared it recently, like a few months ago. I read it where he says the name's never going back to Redskins. He's already just said that. Just get used to it. It's not going to happen. So.
There. Yeah. I liked football team better than Commanders.
Yeah. Commanders is weird.
I do too.
Yeah.
I kind of like their uniforms. They just had the numbers on the side, and
that was kind of cool.
They were cool looking uniforms. I like them. But we're gonna be definitely watching that game. Jaden Daniels, he's gonna have Hutch in his face this time, boys.
Yeah,
and some others. It's gonna be a different
much
story.
Different I mean, outcome for this game, man.
So many things like our we'll have Anzalone, Rodrigo, Barnes, like all healthy, like potentially, hopefully.
Yeah, Ali McNeil might be back by then.
Ooh, yeah.
The Egyptian.
Oh, Hussein. Oh God, I can't pronounce his name. Yeah,
it's like Ahmed or something, isn't it? What, am I wrong?
Go look it up.
Hey, chat, tell us.
Prepared. We don't have Kid J to.
Kid J, we missed names. You.
This wasn't really on our list today, but anyway, my sleeper pick of the draft.
I think Ahmed Hassanani. Ahmed Hassanani. Why am I? No one else knows his name either.
Forget about it. We're just going to call him the Egyptian anyway in our podcast, probably.
The Egyptian, yeah.
You know, like Tim Patrick's the Irishman. He'll be the Egyptian, you know.
You know. Here's a little analysis tidbit that's kind of funny, though. Like anyone who's looking at him is like this great potential. Like, we finally addressed our DN position. His athletic traits are like almost a near carbon copy of Josh Pascal's.
Here we go. Pascal.
I'm just saying, they ran the same exact 40 time at almost the same height and weight. Actually,
Pascal's
more explosive, but
does he have a Hassanein's violent hands, though?
No, he does not have
no
violent hands.
He's got more violent hands.
Has he ever done CrossFit competitions? No.
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 Pascal's a good piece to have on the team, but he's not this elite guy that you think he is. I mean, but the Egyptian.
Yeah.
He's a sleeper. He's going to end up in the Pro Bowl, man. You know, not this year, but he will be in the Pro Bowl.
I'm with you. I'm with you, brother.
Peril.
Yeah. This is a great pick.
I don't know. I love him. I love Pascal, and he has the same traits, so why wouldn't I love him?
But I'll tell you, just watching his interview, I've never seen a guy more humble, more grateful, more like the happiest, more positive. I just get happy watching that guy talk.
Yeah.
He's so
actually what. What
he said he would die for Campbell too. So
he said he would die.
What I do think he might have over what I'm hoping, and maybe he might have over Pascal, is maybe some more finesse to his game. I don't know, but I also think Pascal's going to have a big year this year.
Heavy hands.
You know, talk crap all you want. He's going to show up.
Got the hands, the heavy hands.
Yeah, Pascal was called a war daddy coming out, so.
All right. Well.
Okay, anyway.
Why you guys decided to hate Pascal.
Railing on him constantly about Pascal. Let's drop it for a minute.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You're like, we don't need anybody off its touch. We have Pascal.
That's not what I've ever said, so.
All right.
All right. Anyway. All right. I think we had the Pascal lamb for Easter, I think. But
you
anyway,
are the ones obsessed with Pascal. I was only making a point.
UJ, wait. Week 11's coming up next.
Oh, this is a good one, too. This is going to show the world who should have been champs last year, because we're going to the Philadelphia Eagles at Philadelphia, of course.
Yep.
Yeah. I just, you Detroit fans, if you go to Philly to watch the game, though, probably should arm yourselves because those fans are crazy. Anyway,
I know Philly's like a great team and everything, and they had a great draft, but basically the Lions tripped on the right before the finish line and they just like stumbled through, you know.
Yes.
The win.
He did. You're right. You're right, Bob. Well,
this should have been the NFC championship last year.
The Lions were like walking backwards at the end because they were so far ahead, and they were like, hey, and then they tripped. Yeah.
This is the game we didn't get last year that we were all looking forward to.
Oh, like, I was looking forward to that one.
This was supposed to be the NFC championship, and we didn't get it. And I think this is arguably the heavy hitters of the entire league in this game.
Arguably is,
top two teams, like, in terms of just pure roster. I mean, we're brimming with talent, and they are too. And like, I can't think of a spot where isn't like who's got the better this, that it's not just like coin toss almost. I
think
we got better.
We have the better quarterback.
Yeah, hell baby. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
So we continue on our journey through the NFC East. Following the Eagles, we take on the Giants. Oh, yeah. Now, the Giants are going to be interesting this year, I think. I forget who that quarterback is they drafted. The kid from Mississippi, right?
Dart? Is that
Jackson Dart or whatever?
Jackson Dart.
So I'm interested in that kid. And plus they got...
definitely more exciting than Daniel Jones.
Abdul Carter, right? Yeah. They got Abdul Carter. So this team is going to be interesting to watch. They've been floundering around for years, like kind of like the Lions of yore.
Carter.
Yeah. So,
and I just realized, and Kayvon Thibodeau. Sorry.
It's going to be a combo there. No, that's why they're going to be interesting. So, this should be an interesting game to watch. So, but they do have a rookie quarterback. So, I do give us a huge edge in this game. And plus, it's at home. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. So, we take a break from the NFC East and go back to our own division Thursday. Thanksgiving Day, and they move the game up back another half hour to noon Central time.
Weird.
1 p.m. Eastern.
I don't like that.
I don't either. Like,
I like it. It's always been at 11:30 Central, 12:30 Eastern, and I don't get it.
I set my clock by that. Every year, I set my clocks one time a year, and that's the day I do it.
Morning turkey bowlers will appreciate not having to miss as much of the game or any of it, hopefully. But beyond that, I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, they for whatever reason, they decided to change it.
Turkey bowl after the game.
But the bottom line is it's still our tradition, the Lions tradition, who started it many years ago. And we're going to be playing the Green Bay Packers, baby, at home. So
let's go. When was the last time you played the Packers?
I like that. What do you think of having the Packers on Thanksgiving? I like that.
Because
they used to play them a lot early in the rivalry.
They did, yeah. Like, they did.
Exclusively at first. Like, I think if here's my understanding of it. It was exclusively Lions-Packers tradition at first. And then Lombardi, the Vince Lombardi, got sick of us always spoiling their playoff chances and stuff on Thanksgiving because we were crap, but we would beat them still on like the Thanksgiving magic. And then he pulled the Packers out of the game and we stayed, and now it's our game.
You know, I don't know if that's true, but it's a great story.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
I know Lombardi pulled him out though. He didn't like the losing on fluky games to the Lions, who should have never beat him.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I love it.
We usually play them tough. But it should be a fun game, man.
Weak mentality.
I don't know. We've struggled a bit on Thanksgiving over the years, but
we turned it around last year.
Yeah,
so.
We did. Yeah. So I like Green Bay. I love to. What better way to prepare yourself for a Thanksgiving feast and beating up on the Packers? Oh, I mean, can you think? It's hard to think of anything better than that.
No, they're my least favorite team. Easy.
Awesome. So that's great. Now, the next game, we're going back to the NFC East again. And I don't know why they're in the East, the Cowboys. They're in freaking Texas. What are they doing in the East division anyway? It doesn't even make sense. But they are, nonetheless, the Dallas Cowboys, who strike fear into absolutely nobody. So,
and that's a Thursday night game, right? So they're a week away. We get a full week of rest for the game.
Again, adding to that extra rest days that they're getting over the year. So, two Thursdays in a row. Pretty interesting.
What are they even at as a team? Like, what's their identity? I don't even know anything. Like, what's their identity anymore? They're just kind of like falling off the.
Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Parsons. I guess they got CeeDee Lamb still, right?
Yeah.
Are they still, Dak's still their guy?
I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? Yeah, I hate those guys anyway.
Yeah.
Hate them.
They're fun to beat, and we
will beat them.
We get them at home now this time.
Right? Yeah, at home.
We've had to play in Dallas for the last few years.
Right.
Nice.
And last year's, besides Hutch going down, was glorious.
That was a great game last year against Dallas.
Oh, my God. That was beautiful.
Opened up the playbook.
Crushed them.
That was one of those games where you just never fretted the whole game because we just so owned them that whole game. Yeah. It was so great.
So good.
Yeah. So anyway, the next game.
How many attempts did we do to O-linemen in that game? Sorry.
Oh, I don't know.
That was hilarious.
Oh, they were determined to score.
Like three or four offensive linemen passing plays.
Look for Sewell to score week 14. Yeah. We're going to get that thing.
I hope we keep some of that attitude.
That'd be Decker, though, right?
I hope we keep some of that revenge attitude with us, though, Like,
we got a lot of revenge
things like
this
that.
Season.
Yeah. So I hope we keep that attitude with the new OC. But so the next week. Another interesting game at Los Angeles Rams, baby. Ooh, another Stafford meeting against his old team. Stafford hasn't done too good against his old team, has he?
No, I think, didn't he beat us once?
I think.
Not record-wise. He's played great games and lost.
But I think he did win one in L.A. the first year. I don't know.
Did we play him that first regular? Yeah, you're right. Right after the trade, I think he beat us.
I mean, there's still this little spot in my heart that I love watching that guy play, but I just hope we crush him that day.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
we will.
I still like my theory there that this is just going to be like Stafford's purgatory. He's just going to keep coming back to the Lions and play like out of his mind and losing efforts. So, and get crushed by our D-line.
But it's in L.A. too, so, again, that makes it interesting. Another one of those away games against a good team.
They're shaping back to one of the top teams right now with what they got
going
on.
They've got a really good defense there.
They've reloaded after that Super Bowl so quick. That burst and Fisky, to replenish their defense. Like, they got some guys in the draft. They'll be tough.
But, just to touch on the draft theories, people out trading all your draft picks away. Look at McVay did. He traded so many draft picks away to get Stafford and all that shit. They win the Super Bowl. They have a one down year, and then – they rebound to become very competitive once again the very next year.
Because they can draft
well. Yeah.
And now they're back to where they have normal draft picks like everybody else, So It just makes you wonder about that.
Puka Nacua in like the sixth round.
Sure, it's good drafting. I mean, yeah,
well, that's the key. Then Verse and Fisky to replenish that defense, like, and that other rookie that had a bunch of sacks, their D tackle last year. I mean, well, that's what we were waiting to see, because you know what's interesting? The rule of thumb, the problem is it's never contextual. Like that's, and Brad faces the same problems all the time. He's always being judged against fictional measurements based on like generic rules around drafting and how to proceed in building an organization. Like this year, all the edge talk. We need to get an edge early. We need them early. We need them early. But what did Brad do? He stuck to their procedures and what they are good at and what they know, and that's drafting men who are great at football, and regardless of position. And now look at what they've done. They said F them picks. Everyone thought that's stupid. They've just sabotaged them. They swung for the fences. If they missed, they got their one, they'll suck now. But they I guess that's not true because they replenished their draft. So
To get that one.
Yeah.
But
we're gonna this year, baby.
But Brad Holmes coming out of that organization, you know, that speaks well for what the Lions are gonna be like going forward.
It does, really.
Because he hasn't done what some past GMs have done with the Lions, where they try to make a splash trade or like bring in a big name or something. He's just stuck by what he does, and it wouldn't surprise me if he traded away some first rounds, like if the thing felt right, you know, like, but
right.
But that's not his mode of operation, you know, like modus operandi. But
Bob. He's a very disciplined draft guy. But the one thing I will say though, he just loves to move up to get guys. He loves, maybe not first round all the time, but like he went up to get Tesla with he moved up 35 picks to get him. Because he perceives that, you know, people want these guys, so he's not gonna let other people get them.
Rattledge too.
But how great to go after people you want. Like you just, I want that guy. So what do I gotta do to get that guy? Because someone's probably gonna pick him before my pick. I gotta trade up and get him. And that's what he does. And boy, it's really worked for him. So yeah.
And he's been able to use these undrafted guys and the, you know, late round guys and hit on some of those, which helps you know, we don't need a third rounder.
And then he's judicial with his free agency. He targets that's where he plugs holes in free agency, and he does it so well. Like trades, like we traded a third rounder for Carlton Davis last year, but this year DJ Reed, on paper, a fantastic move to plug that hole. And but he doesn't swing for the fences there because he's not going to pay the big money outside of our organization, generally speaking. And that's where everyone worrying is like, they're going to be so happy when we re-sign Laporta, when we re-sign Campbell, when we re-sign all these guys, because he didn't bust it all on some swing for the fences guy. We don't even know.
Yeah, you're right. And he's been good at bringing in those. I mean, Reed's going to be, that's a bit more to spend. But a lot of these guys, he brings them in for 1 year contracts, like veterans, like they have to prove themselves for their next contract. And it's worked. They don't always hit, but a lot of them have.
Yeah, the bargain bin shopping.
Well, like you said, when it works, it's
Kaminsky,
great.
Kaminsky is a great example of a guy who, you know, you make a kind of inspired move towards a guy who shows a lot of the right traits for you, and you give him some new life. And I know he faded and we didn't get the vision, never fully developed with him, unfortunately, because of the injuries and stuff. But honestly, just the increase in talent, I think he was kind of doomed here eventually.
Yeah. So,
but still, he did a great job in the time.
I'm even worried about our St. Rita boy, Pat O'Connor, a little bit this year because he's got a lot of competition in that D-line room this year. So,
you
know, if he makes this team, he is a badass. Because that's just like,
well, first of all, he is a badass. Loaded. He went to St. Rita, and then he's just naturally a badass. He just
that's a knock.
Hey,
it's as badass.
And for those of you who don't know, Pope Leo was involved with St. Rita High School, and
that's right.
He's an honorary alum of the school. This is before he became Pope. And, Pat O'Connor might know him because a lot of those Rita kids know.
That's true.
Leo.
So,
you know,
we have a papal connection.
Yeah.
With the Lions. I love it. Yeah. And some people say that one of Pope Leo's first miracles was teaching physics to St. Rita kids. So
That would take a miracle.
First miracle. So
I just had anyway. You just gave me like a vision of like a parody movie called Papal Connection, and you'd like make a whole thing like based on like the French Connection and like have like car chases.
Yeah.
The Pope bringing justice.
They'll bring the Pope mobile into the Ford Field one day, you know. Wouldn't that be cool? Like at halftime, the Pope mobile rides in. You know,
that'd be awesome.
Pope Leo's out there. And Leo, the lion. Yeah, Leo.
Yeah.
Come on.
Get Leo and Rory together, you know.
Oh, my God.
Pat O'Connor has the pole and connection to get the Pope onto the Detroit Lions field in the Pope mobile.
Yeah.
I will shit my pants.
He should have been Pope Rory, though. Yeah. Like Pope Rory the First would have been probably better name, but
oh my God.
Maybe they could get Leo to do the ball toss where you try to win, you throw it in the can, you know, and the further down the field.
Win a scholarship.
Oh my God. Ooh, okay. We're gonna all
Pope
go
Leo
to
Leo is war. He's won a Ford F-150 with the Lions logo on the side. And then he'll use that as a Pope mobile.
Oh, I know this is
we're all going to hell.
I know this is Chicago related, but since we're talking about the Pope, has anyone seen like the like jokes, like videos, like instead of the communion, he gives like a roast beef sandwich. And like,
oh yeah,
the wine is Malort. And Malort, like,
yeah. Oh my God,
yeah, it's been a lot of fun with the Pope stuff.
But so we digressed a bit.
Anyway, yes. Yeah,
a wee bit.
So the next game, Week 16, the Pittsburgh Steelers in Detroit. And the reason I'm interested in this game, because I want to see Jack Sawyer and TJ Watt together on the field at the same time. I think we will beat Pittsburgh. I think we're a better team than them. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be this year. I don't know if they know. I don't know if anybody knows. Yeah, but
that's the mystery.
They got a competition.
But Jack Sawyer is one of those guys in the draft I was really kind of interested in. I kind of would have loved to have him in the second round maybe. And I'm just curious to see how he turns out as a pro. Yeah, but anyway. So the Pittsburgh Steelers at home, followed by the next week, Minnesota at Minnesota. Yeah. Our last two games are on the road. So at Minnesota, a Netflix game.
We have a Netflix game?
That's a fantastic. Netflix game. Yeah, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. So,
I mean, whatever you want to say that resembles about like society and it's our decline, like, I know I'll be able to watch that game. So,
and this is this is Christmas Day too, which is the twist here.
Christmas Day on Netflix.
Red Dog's birthday.
That's right, yeah. Red Dog. Christmas baby. Yeah,
and, Lions victory for birthday this year. That's fun.
And that's what they're planning. That's
me
the
and
plan.
Jesus both rooting for the Lions, baby.
All right. Well, so that'll be fun. So then January 3rd. Or fourth, it's to be determined. We finish our season with the Chicago Bears in Chicago in the frozen tundra, wherever the hell it is in Chicago at that time of year. But I'm sure it'll be cold and nasty and gnarly, but who cares? It's going to be great.
I hope it's extra cold and nasty and gnarly.
So,
yeah. You know, it's like I'm going to do a weak prediction here, but this game won't mean anything to anything other than like the Bears. They won't even be able to play spoiler. I think we're going to have it locked up at this point. And they're not even going to be in contention.
It'll be like, is Ben Johnson going to keep his job?
And we get to rub salt in the wound as we drop him to a playoff.
Yeah. Boy, that would be something. So, well, that's it. We kind of went through the schedule. So, yeah, it's on paper. It's a tough schedule. But you know what? Those teams all have to play against the Lions.
Wonderful.
So, you know, think about that.
I don't know. It's a different calculus these days in my eyes. Like, since we're one of the top dogs now, it's like you look at the schedule, it's like whoever we play. You know, like
You're right. You're right. Exactly. I mean, because we can beat any of these teams any day. Yeah. No doubt. In the past, if we'd have been lucky, we would have had to have one of those really weird, miraculous days where we just got hot for no reason and just beat some team like we should have never beaten a million years.
I remember that. Like back in the day, like they beat the Cowboys and their throwback uniforms. You're like, oh, yeah, this is it.
But, I know. Those days are over, man. This team, we expect them to win, and they generally come through. So it's, this is like, I mean, for longtime Lions fans, this is a whole era that we're still getting used to in my mind.
Maybe it's because I have
I'm loving every minute of it.
Maybe it's because I have a screw loose, but I've always wanted a tougher schedule, so this suits me just fine. This schedule looks grueling and wonderful all at the same time. I want the tougher the better, baby. Bring it all, and I guarantee you, Dan Campbell wants the same thing. He don't want no weak schedule, no matter what. Like, you want the best, bring them on, baby. Because when you go through a schedule like that and you make the playoffs, you're gonna be so freaking battle hardened. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Like, you never know what these schedules. Like the weak schedule a couple years ago was. The Seahawks are coming to town. Right. Oh, they suck. And then they blow us out, you know. Like,
yeah, where did Geno Smith come from?
Exactly.
So you never know. You never know.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree with you, generally, Rudd Dog. I, like you said, iron sharpens iron, and you know, Campbell's got to be loving this stuff. This is all motivational. I mean, it's just all great. And this team wants to be the best, and they are determined to be the best. And
yeah,
I just love it. The whole makeup of this team.
Bob, one thing you, the other side of that coin, it could be harder than initially said. Like, cause like the Bears schedule, like their record was likely to go up. I think even the Packers could improve a little bit. Like, there's going to be some teams that get better than last year's record suggests. This could end up as the toughest schedule for all we know.
Well, I mean, the Vikings could even be better with the worst record.
Yeah, you know? Right.
But apparently, one of the new ways of determining toughness of schedule is now by Vegas odds of over and under games won. So,
now,
not by last year's record. So, like, they'll take Vegas odds. Like, the Bears won, what, 4 games last year, whatever. But I think this year they're projected to win 8. And the Bengals are projected to win, like, 9. So, they're going by those projections to determine the toughness of schedule, which is probably a more accurate than going by last year's schedule, since you're not the same team you were last year. Every year is a new year. Even
gambling houses are stunningly accurate. They know all like how they play both sides, and they somehow like just have an incredible like it. That data they get off of betting somehow gives them stunning insight. So. I think that's not a bad idea for pointless projections that mean nothing.
I think the Lions are 10.5 is the
10.5 over under. 10.5.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, it's a tough schedule. So, I think we'll be much higher than that, but
I think we'll be higher than that. But, you know, I don't care if we win, you know, 16 games or 15 games. I just want to be in the playoffs and healthy at the end and peaking at the right time. And that's what, in the NFL, that's what matters. You got to be peaking at the right time. The Eagles peaked great last year. I mean, every Super Bowl team, if you look at them, they seem to just peak at the right time. They get hot.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at the Chiefs 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They looked kind of mediocre for most of the year. And then they.
Right.
Hell, even last year, they didn't win it all, but they still got there despite having a lesser looking team than previous years.
No, you're right.
Or the Packers, the wild card year, they hit it stride at the perfect time.
Aaron Rodgers, they eke into the wild card and they run the table, and they peaked at the right time. It just
gotta get your ticket in, baby. That's all that matters. You gotta make the tournament.
But I mean, guarantee,
obviously you want to do it a certain way, but as we saw last year, how we do it doesn't matter.
Right. And I think Campbell is acutely aware of this thing. Like, I guarantee you he's had sleepless nights just thinking about that last season, how what we could have done to peak at the end, you know. Like, he's got to be just considering all this. Like, he's one of the most thoughtful, not thoughtful in a like, oh, I'm kind and nice, you know, but like he thinks about details and things like deeply. Like, and I think he's really in my mind, he's thinking in the offseason how I can get this team to peak at the right time at the end when he failed last year. He did. He failed to do
it. I'm with you, Jay.
So, but I think that's on his mind.
I'd pay money to see what his, like, overall takeaway was from everything last season, from beginning a season through the early disappointment out at the first round of the playoffs or second round of the playoffs. Like, I would pay money just to hear what he took away from that, because I think the hard part of his job after that game was
that game was so fluky. Like, it was like, it's one of those ones where you could write it off as it just wasn't our day. You know, little things happened here and there. It just didn't break our way. We made some dumb decisions, but like, whatever. Like, it was such a fluky loss that it didn't point obviously to any one thing. And when you have something like that at the tail end of a great 15-2 season where, like, why didn't we do well in the playoffs? Like, that level of analysis can be so difficult. I would pay to see what his takeaways and what he is eyeing at as solutions towards addressing that, because it's all the way at the end of the season now. So what are you doing in the meantime to address it? You know, like, how it's such a fine detail type thing, you know, like
what you're doing is healing up Hutch's leg.
Yes. Well, there is that, you know, there are some more blatant things. You're right. Like, getting our team healthy and keeping them healthy actually might just solve it all. So maybe I'm over.
Is it funny? Like us talking heads, I guess that's what we are. We talk about this stuff and we're thinking these deep thoughts, you know, like, oh, he's probably thinking all these deep thoughts. And probably season's over, he just like gets some Cheetos and fucking watches Andy Griffith reruns or something. Like, just like, is this me? Season starting again? Oh, shit, I gotta get back to work.
Hey, honey, what channel's Me TV? I'm trying to find it.
That's hilarious. In a way, UJ, I think that might be close to the takeaway is that it's like, well, like when I went to college, played football in college, my coach was taking over. He was a first year coach and he was taking over a really successful program. And like, he talked all the time about like, when you're good, that's often that's the hardest time to improve, because it's hard to make major improvements when you're already really good. And we're already really good. So, like, right now, his tweaks have to be highly calculated and smart. Like, and in a way, it's really just repeat on the process and just try harder next time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, their process, like, their way of operating is kind of set in stone. It's in their culture. It's be a little better today than you were yesterday and just really be gritty in on the details and always focusing. So, like, really, not anything has to technically change for them to like just go all the way through this year, other than maybe a little luck, right? Like with the injuries, like Bob said, and that's the problem too. We all face, like, this was part of why this off season, I think why everyone got so fixated on Edge. It was like the only thing they could kind of be like almost approaching that part where we're like, we need that. Like, that's how it's going to get us over the top. But like, it's like there's just no like real glaring need, and that was the closest thing to like a somewhat glaring need, but it wasn't even that glaring. And
I'll tell you one thing
about being good.
Tell you one thing they don't need though. They got lobster mac and cheese at the dining hall. Ooh, yeah. You know. So anyway, So we've been doing this for a while now. We went over the whole schedule, which.
They don't need lobster mac and cheese at the mess hall?
No, the Egyptian said that they asked him what his favorite snack was, and they had said lobster mac and cheese. He said you can go in there and eat anytime you want. You can grab drink. You can grab food. He says it's unbelievable.
I know, but you said that after what they don't need. So now
they don't need lobster mac and cheese because they have it already.
Oh, yeah, they do.
All right.
Hey, if it keeps Ahmed... Austin and happy, then it's needed.
Yes.
Did you see there was somebody was keeping track of which teams eat the most Uncrustables? I guess that's a pretty popular snack for players.
Really?
Little peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
That's kind of wild.
who's the leader?
I think it was the Chiefs. Chiefs had the most, but I can't remember. It was like a couple months ago.
That's hilarious. That's
actually
so funny.
Brings an intriguing dilemma to mind, because I had a guy that has one of those apps that like scans products for like their nutritional and like what kind of bad chemicals they're made with. And like Uncrustables was supposedly like one of the worst. So maybe there's something we don't know about the chemicals.
I think if you're at that level of an athlete, you can get away with a few Uncrustables.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially those big linemen, man. They're just pounding food.
What they don't tell you is they're made by master chefs that actually make them in the back, and then they just look like Uncrustables.
All right, guys. I think on that note, we should hang it up. This is a fun thing to talk about. Really enjoyed talking about the upcoming schedule. We'll be...
talked about the papacy.
Yeah, we covered a lot of things here tonight, you know. We are quite worldly in our conversation.
We're cool, like, affairs.
Pope Leo, you know, the lion, Leo the lion.
Yep, it's a good sign.
All their news here.
Yes, so. anyway, I think, is this time for On That Note?
But, like, I have a question. If the Pope's from Chicago, that doesn't help the Bears, does it?
No, because he's from the south side of Chicago.
The Bears are hopeless.
Or maybe by the
Bears are more of a north side team than a south side team.
Pat O'Connor gives us the same blessing?
I don't know. Anyway, I think Pope I think the Pope does have a Michigan connection anyway. He went to school at up near Holland, right?
In Holland, some theological high school or something.
Yeah, so he has a Michigan connection there. That's where he became a Lions fan. So
that's our narrative.
Yeah, we're sticking with the Pope.
So we need to get those AI images out there. They have the White Sox ones.
Yeah. So on that note, let's hang it up, boys. Let's live to tell the tale, and we'll be back again in a week or so talking about more Lions news. Hopefully some mini cam news coming up and stuff like that. Talk about our new rookie class and the upcoming possibilities for the next season. Oh, the Hall of Fame game we're playing this year. Oh, that'll be fun. It's really not going to be fun. Those games suck.
Hall of Fame game, anyway,
those games suck. But the Hall of Fame is a cool place. If you've ever been there, it's a good place to go.
I think it'll be great to watch Hendon Hooker perform that day.
Yeah, definitely.
And watch all our second stringers and scrubs play.
But thank you, all the fans, for listening to us. And
we love you.
We enjoy doing these podcasts. We do it. It's a labor of love, believe me, because we've been doing this a long time. We don't get paid, but we love it. So subscribe.
It's hard to believe.
Watch us on YouTube.
Paid, I know.
Our producer, Kid Jay. Wait.
Kid Jay.
The greatest producer who is not here today. I am actually sort of sub-producing. I think I'll get a raise in pay for this. I think.
Yeah. UJ.
You know how good he is? He spurned us for The Athletic on draft night, y'all. Well, so
here's where our producer is going to fire me because
he's getting poached.
Because now follow us at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram and
Drinking Lions on Twitter.
Drinking Lions on Twitter and
DTBK underscore Lions on one of them.
On the other one. And then
and you can look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, look it up on YouTube. Kool-Aid.
It's the internet. This is 2025. Google will find us.
We're out there. We're out there. Follow us. Like, follow us because we'll make your life better. I promise you. You just listen to us.
Promise.
You will feel like suddenly lighter and you'll like be like you'll be walking in air. You'll be walking to work, listening to our podcast, and you'll feel not a care in the world because of all our wonderful Lions talking. It'll just make your day, you know.
And you'll have
you'll
the
be smiling walking down
Lions.
The street. Yeah.
hopefully not getting hit by a car. But you know, people probably.
Well,
like,
you'll
why
be okay if
smiling?
You do because you were listening to us when you went.
Yeah,
so.
Why is that guy smiling? He's listening. Yeah, in the casket,
he was happy
he'll be
when
he'll have a smile on his face. Wow, we're really digressing now.
He'll leave the headphones in so he's listening to us until the
band. The last thing he heard was the podcast.
Where's our producer to
marry
save us
me
now?
With drinking the blue Kool-Aid in my ears?
Where's our producer to save us now? Okay. It's time to end it, boys. We got to end it. We got to end it now before it's too late.
All right.
Okay. And thank you. And as always,
last but not least,
as always,
go.
Go.
Field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain. A Lion's victory.
Go!
Go.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.